Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is the Best Health Podcast, brought to you by Wake Forest Baptist Health in partnership with MedCost.
Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the latest episode of the Best Health Podcast, brought to you by Wake Forest Baptist Health. Hope everyone out there is staying safe and well listening to this episode. We are going to be discussing, you might be guessing correctly, COVID vaccines in this podcast episode. There's a lot of questions, a lot of information out there on social media, a lot of information that's being updated and changed quickly coming through various media outlets and from government entities. So we'll be talking about the COVID vaccine, but we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive and talk a little bit about vaccines and the history and maybe concerns about vaccines overall and how it relates to this COVID-19 vaccine, specifically within the African-American and Latinx community. And I have a really cool, awesome guest to help us navigate through this conversation. Before we get to our guest, since this podcast is COVID-related, I do want to take the opportunity just to remind everyone listening that you can always visit our website, wakehealth.edu/COVID, for the latest COVID information that is coming through the Wake Forest Baptist Health System. And that is about the disease itself, the virus, and also the latest vaccine information that we have to distribute through Wake Forest Baptist. Please feel free to check back frequently because it frequently gets updated. Without further ado, I want to introduce Dr. Allison Matthews. She is the Associate Director at our Maya Angelou Center for Health Equity. So welcome, Dr. Matthews. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I know you, like many other healthcare industry workers, have been very busy lately, and you have a lot on your plate, and a lot of it surrounds COVID here as of recent times. I'm going to ask you about that in a minute, but before I do, just take a second and tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you came into the position at the Maya Angelou Center and a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I have a PhD in sociology, and so my research interest is in how we as community members and particularly marginalized populations navigate experiences with stigma and discrimination, and also trying to address mistrust between researchers and the community. So I've done a lot of work previously before COVID around trust building around HIV related clinical trials. If you can imagine, there's a lot of stigma around HIV. And yeah. So a lot of that work was community building, trust building, creating mechanisms for community members to have a voice in how clinical trials are done at the hospital. And so in my role at the Maya Angelou Center, I'm doing that work. And then now, of course, because of COVID, it's now been focused mostly on how do we facilitate conversations with community members about building trust, addressing misinformation, addressing myths, and creating mechanisms for community members to have a voice in how the research as well as the vaccine kind of rollout is being done at Wake Forest Baptist.
Well, that sounds like important work, and that that aligns pretty closely, obviously, with your job description as part of the overall mission of the Maya Angelou Center. If people aren't necessarily familiar with the Maya Angelou Center for Health Equity, you know, maybe just take a few seconds and tell them what the Maya Angelou Center does and what it focuses on day in and day out with Dr. Goldie Bird leading that ship.
So Dr. Goldie Bird is the director, the center director of the Maya Angelou Center. I'm actually the associate director of a program called Integrating Special Populations, mm-hmm. which as I mentioned before, it focuses on kind of that recruitment, retention, and community mm-hmm. building around research. And then Dr. Allison Caban-Holt is the associate director of the Maya Angelou Center for Health Equity. So the work that we do is trying to conduct research on how we better improve health outcomes and address health disparities for underrepresented groups. And that includes older adults age 65 and older, young people age 17 and under, and racial ethnic minorities like African-American, Latinx, and Native American, American Indian populations. Okay. And so a lot of the work is COVID-19, HIV, Alzheimer's disease, and trying to raise awareness about those things. We do a lot of health education, and we also do a lot of outreach. So we actually hired community health workers who are out in the community educating people about health topics and connecting them to wraparound services as well.
Okay, that's really cool. That's really important work. You know, I would say maybe more important now than ever, just because of all the rapid developments within healthcare lately, the past 12 months surrounding COVID and the vaccine coming to market. And, you know, I would say also very important just because of how quickly information can spread these days, you know, information or misinformation. So it's really good to have you all out there and doing the research and coming back with the data and the science. To help discuss and analyze and talk through, you know, whatever specific topic you all might be studying at the time or talking about. But yeah, obviously, a lot of us have been talking about COVID lately, and more recently, the COVID vaccine. So before we dive into some more specifics about the vaccine and concerns, I want you to take a minute and talk to us a little bit about the work you've been doing as part of the community research partnership and how that ties into your mission of being inclusive and bringing people to the table, both with you know, COVID information and the antibody study, but now more recently the vaccine study and the vaccine coming to market. I think that'd be really interesting for people to hear. So if you want to just take a minute and talk about that, I think that'd be great.
Sure. So the COVID-19 Community Research Partnership is a research study that started at Wake Forest and is led by Wake Forest Baptist, mm-hmm. but now has actually expanded to sites across the southeastern United States, including in DC, Mississippi, New Orleans, and all over North Carolina. And the idea is that you track your symptoms every day for COVID-19, and then people would also receive home test kits to test for antibodies for COVID-19. And that helps us better understand how it's affecting our bodies and spreading in the community. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting is that, you know, because it's called the COVID Community Research Partnership, we wanted to make sure that we had actual partnerships with community. And we established mm-hmm. the COVID-19 Community Leadership Council. Mm-hmm. So that leadership council, you know, has representatives from both from staff from Wake Forest Baptist, including yourself, Justin, with community leaders such as the representatives from the Hispanic League and mm-hmm. Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated and Hustle Winston-Salem and Forsyth County Health Department. Mm-hmm. And so we meet on a consistent basis to talk about the concerns and needs of community members, what they're hearing on the ground, and then try to organize events as well as educational content that we can post on social media and pass out in the community to educate people about COVID-19. And so now that the vaccine trials have started and and vaccine rollout has begun, that leadership council has been really a cornerstone for Wake Forest Baptist and being able to get some insight in how we want to better address the concerns that people in the community have around and the questions people have around vaccines. So the role that we at Maya Angelou Center has been, you know, making sure that we have that council as the way to get insight, but then also trying to host town hall discussions, put content out on social media, training community health workers so that they can be knowledgeable about the vaccines, as well as partnering with entities like Hispanic League and Forsyth County Health Department to host events to get information out in the community.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's really helpful information. And, you know, I think it speaks to the collaborative efforts and kind of the community building happening around this part of Winston, Salem, Forsyth County, the Triad, and especially during this pandemic for different entities to come together and rally together. I think that's been crucial. Moving a little bit further down the chain into the actual COVID-19 vaccine, and I'm sure you all probably have to talk about this and present this as you talk to your constituents about clinical trials and vaccine trials, just generically, not necessarily COVID-19. But when you're talking to someone about what that process is on just a very basic foundational level, you know, what do you tell them about, you know, it's not just the scientists that can raise their hand the quickest if they just start producing mass vaccines. There's actually a pretty rigorous process that they have to go through, correct?
Yes. And so the first part of that conversation is acknowledging that there are valid reasons why people have hesitation about vaccines or about clinical trials and research in general. And so acknowledging that there has been kind of a sordid past, scientific abuses, scientific exploitation, particularly in African American and Latinx communities, I think is important, especially acknowledging the role that Wake Forest Baptist has had in the eugenics movement. And, you know, but also, you know, once we acknowledge that, I think it's important for us to, you know, also articulate that there are so many measures that have been put in place to keep those things from happening again and to protect participants in particular. And so we have the Institutional Review Board that reviews all study protocol. Nothing can happen without their approval. And that has representation from community members who are able to review the clinical trial protocols and make sure that they are safe and that there's no like undue risk for participants.
Okay.
And then the next set of measures, you know, is to have those community leadership councils who also are giving insight on how the studies are rolled out and how they're impacting the communities, how we're educating people about the vaccines. And then the other part of it that we try to have conversation about, and I think it's important to remember, is that this technology is not new. The mRNA kind of approach to developing vaccines has been developed over the last 10 years and has been, you know, studied and tested in humans and shown to be safe and effective. And so this is not something that people just came up with and were able to develop a vaccine all of a sudden, you know, out of thin air, but has actually been informed by research that was conducted in cancer research and also in HIV research. Okay. And a lot of times people ask the question, well, how could we have come up with a vaccine so quickly for COVID-19, but we couldn't have done that? We don't have a cure for HIV. We don't have a cure for cancer. Well, a lot of those health conditions operate very differently than the COVID virus. Mm-hmm. HIV in particular replicates very quickly and likes to stay in the body. It actually is comfortable living in the body, whereas the COVID virus is slower to replicate and slower to mutate and doesn't like to live in the body for long. And so it naturally tries to eject itself and find another host. So those are some differences, some slight differences, but also that makes it easier for us to develop a vaccine for it. Whereas with HIV, it's been a little bit more difficult, but at the same time, we've been able to develop so many technologies that address HIV and cancer that then have informed the development for this vaccine.
So interesting. And so really cool just to see how quickly just the healthcare innovations and science can advance and, you know, what one group of scientists over here does can help the larger scientific community. It's pretty, pretty interesting. Now, you know, as you've been out talking with people and talking with different groups, you know, as you mentioned earlier, there are fears, you know, and people have different fears for different reasons, you know, and specifically with the population that you were discussing earlier with the Latinx and African American community, you know, they might have, you know, a couple few different fears that maybe someone else does not have. So when you're talking with people and interacting with them, what do you say to address those concerns when it comes up?
I would say that the side effects for, I first try to start by educating people about what the correct information is. So the side effects for the vaccine are pain at the injection site, fever, chills, and headache, and those go away after 2 days or so. Mm-hmm. And that usually you don't even really experience those symptoms until after the second dose. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's similar to the symptoms that you would receive or experience from any other vaccine, like the flu vaccine. The reason why we're asking people to take the vaccine is because, unlike the flu, a lot of people say, well, I know I don't get a flu vaccine. Why do I need to get a COVID vaccine? Unlike the flu, this one is replicating much more quickly. It's spreading much more quickly and people are dying much more quickly than with the flu. Mm-hmm. And also the virus, you know, has implications for your brain functionality, your lung functionality. People are losing limbs, you know, so there's like other kind of issues that have way more dire consequences for people's bodies than if you were to get the flu. So that's why we really, you know, the kind of the benefits of the vaccine far outweigh the dangers of getting COVID-19. The other thing we hear a lot of times is people concerned about the vaccine changing their DNA or, you know, not being safe in some way, or that they're actually injecting COVID-19 into people. And those are not true. The vaccine is, in particular, the mRNA vaccines are developed in a way that they actually were able to map the DNA sequence and the proteins from coronavirus, and then use those proteins to be able to inject into a human being so that the person can recognize those proteins. It creates like a spike in the body, and then the body is able to recognize that spike protein and then fight it off, create antibodies to fight it off. And then it disappears. It goes away. It doesn't stay in your body. And so that, you know, that's, I think, the important kind of information for people to understand is you're not injecting COVID-19 into people.
Yeah, that's probably a very good distinction that I'm glad you brought up so people can hear that.
All right. If you're enjoying this podcast, then I hope you'll take just a quick second to hear about the folks that make it all possible. And that's the Ginther Group, a Triad real estate team with a vast local knowledge. Don't believe me? Hear it for yourself by listening to their real estate show right here on the Triad Podcast Network. I'm not even in the market, and I don't know what I'd do without an ally like Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group. They've helped me find a plumber, a roofer, and even helped my family save hundreds each month when we refinanced our home. Now imagine how they can help if you are in the market. They can help you get started with an evaluation to list and market your home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling in the Triad, call the Ginther Group at 336-283-8689 or find them online at theginthergroup.com. Now back to the show.
Talking more specifically within the African-American community and the Latinx community, you know, there's some historical mistrust built up there. And you know, I've been grateful to sit in on some of the community partnership, the leadership council meetings, and learn and be educated on some of the history and the background, and, you know, why there might be additional questions or mistrust or eyebrows raised or hesitation, given that legacy is there. You know, what kind of conversations do you have with people, or how do you kind of overcome that part of the situation when you're talking about new developing science, such as the COVID vaccine coming out? How do you kind of talk about the past and then, you know, kind of marry that with the current and future scientific developments?
I would say that this is, you know, not the same as the past, in the sense that we have new, the Institutional Review Board has been around for years, decades. Mm-hmm. You know, I think part of the mistrust is because there's lack of consistency in messaging, and there's different messages from different institutions. So people are a little confused about what's the correct information and who to trust, right? And so it is the onus is on us as researchers and research institutions to be consistent in our messaging, to be consistent in our presence in the community, and be genuine in the partnerships that we develop with organizations in the community. And so I think that's part of what we're doing to address that mistrust is to actually build sustainable partnerships with community-based organizations so that they are at the table, that they have a voice in how things are being done here at the hospital. And that also that we are in communication with the Department of Health and Human Services, and kind of Dr. Goldie Bird is on the coronavirus task force for the governor's office. Mm-hmm. Right. And so these are relationships that, you know, everything that community members say and the council goes directly to state plans, right? Mm-hmm. And goes directly to hospital plans. And the partnerships that we're developing with community-based organizations are ones that we want to be sustainable, and not just coming in, getting what we need and leaving. But these are opportunities for us to build relationship and to create programs that are sustainable beyond just the duration of this pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good information, Dr. Matthews. And you know, I guess to kind of take a step back and maybe a little bit higher up in elevation, generally speaking, you know, after people listening to you talk about this and what the mission of the Maya Angelou Center is, and, you know, it sounds like the community voices are being heard, and those messages are being, you know, taken back to the powers that be, and especially with this COVID-19 vaccine process. So if someone listening wants to get more involved about, you know, how do they help? How can they, in their community, when they want to help build trust between researchers like yourself and the community, you know, what would you say to them if they're listening right now?
I would say there's a few ways that we are building initiatives to increase community involvement. One is that we actually have regular opportunities for volunteering. So they can email me or the Maya Angelou Center, mache@wakehealth.edu, and express interest in volunteering when we're doing outreach in the community. The second way is that we're actually hosting a contest where we are looking for creative ideas. It's called the NC Bridge Builders Contest. Mm-hmm. We're looking for creative ideas from the community on how we build trust. What did they want to see in regards to building trust between researchers and the community? We're focusing on COVID vaccines, but you know, just in general, what are the things that we can do? And if they have creative ideas or creative ideas for programming or mm-hmm. things that they're already doing that they want to pitch as, you know, as a part of the contest, they can submit that by going to www.ncbridgebuilders.org. Okay. And you enter your email and are able to get access the link to submit their idea to the contest.
That's really interesting. I think a really good approach to help bring people aboard and along on this journey. So if all you know about the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine specifically, Dr. Matthews, and what you've seen out there from the results from what people who have gotten a vaccine already, what they've reported back, would you or would not get that vaccine?
Oh, I am ready. The only reason I haven't taken it yet was because I was away for the holidays. But yes, I have my appointment set up and I'm ready to get the vaccine for sure. Larry. And I've talked to family members and friends, and they are all ready to get the vaccine.
Well, that was going to be my next question was, you know, would you recommend it to your family? So.
Yes, definitely.
That's good feedback. And I think kind of a good litmus test for people listening. I want to get people to listen to get the Bridge Builders URL one more time. It's ncbridgebuilders.org.
Yes.
Okay.
The best, I forgot to mention, the best ideas would be eligible to receive a prize. So we have $250 for first place prize, $150 for second place, and $100 for the third place prize. And we also have some, 150 people would randomly be selected to receive $25 just for participating in the contest and completing our survey.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So everyone listening, if you got a creative idea, why not submit it? You get $250 maybe. So not much to lose there. So Dr. Allison Matthews with the Maya Angelou Center for Health Equity, thank you so much for joining us today and talking about this important topic and helping us, bring to light some of the questions and some of the possible solutions to these questions. It's been very helpful.
Thank you.
All right. So everyone listening, just once again, you can go to wakehealth.edu. You can search Maya Angelou Center there on the website, or you can just Google Maya Angelou Center for Health Equity and it'll come right up. So you can find out more information about their mission and their programs that they're working on right now and some of the opportunities to get involved. Once again, as we close, I want to remind everyone of the wakehealth.edu/COVID URL. You can get the latest information that is being distributed there for the COVID-19 virus and the vaccine response as well. So everyone, if you find some of this informational or beneficial, please share it with a family member or a friend. And you can listen to some of the other Best Health podcast episodes that we have on our website or in the podcast store where you download your podcasts. So I hope everyone is taking this seriously. My shameless disclaimer with all my COVID-19 podcasts, please continue the 3 W's, wear your mask, wash your hands, and wait at least 6 feet distance between people. And as we rally together, we can all fight COVID-19 together. So until we talk next time, everyone, please be well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Best Health Podcast, brought to you by Wake Forest Baptist Health. For more wellness info, check out wakehealth.edu/besthealth and follow us on social media. Wake Forest Baptist Health, care for life.